2 weeks ago, I think it was, that we spoke to you about forgiveness and the Lord's Prayer. And that was a message predicated primarily from Matthew chapter 6, verse 12, where Jesus said, "Forgive us our debts or our trespasses or our sins." You could put a number of words in there and they mean the same thing. Forgive us our debts, our sins, as we forgive our debtors. And the key word there that we noticed that night was that we are praying there, asking God to forgive us in the same proportion that we exercise forgiveness toward others. And that's kind of a scary thing. Every single one of you has been or will be hurt deeply in your life. Probably almost all of us here tonight, if we have any length of years at all, could point back in our lives and say at such and such a time or such and such a point, I was hurt deeply by some incident. That incident might have been some experience, a bad experience. It could have been something that was even beyond bad, that it was traumatic. It could have been that you were attacked. Physically, it could just be anything. Somebody said something unkind or untrue about you. Maybe a business partner jilted you. Maybe it could just involve anything in which you had something in your heart that welled up and you knew that you had been wronged and that you needed to forgive that person, and maybe you've struggled with that a great deal. I want you to know that forgiveness is one of the most important aspects of keeping the channels clear in our lives so that the Holy Spirit can flow into us and through us. If you're not a good forgiver, you are going to have problems living fruitfully, faithfully and victoriously for the Lord. And so I want to read to you as the background for this message tonight, Ephesians chapter 4, verses 29 through 32, reading from the New Living Translation that I like so well, where it says this. Well, I'll start at verse 28 since it's a paragraph. If you are a thief, quit stealing. Instead, use your hands for good hard work. So right there, I'm going to have to build something for this thing. For this craft fair, I guess, because I find out I can't steal anything for it, like I was talking about. If you are a thief, quit stealing. Instead, use your hands for good hard work and then give generously to others in need. Don't use foul or abusive language. Do you have a habit of that? Scripture says, stop it. Don't do that. Don't use foul or abusive language. Let everything you say be good and helpful so that your words will be an encouragement to those that hear them. How often sometimes do we use our words to hurt rather than to heal? And if you want to find out in the New Testament, or I should say in the Old Testament, in Proverbs, Proverbs has so much to say about speaking wisely, speaking well, and speaking words of wisdom. It has a ton to say about that. Now let's go on. Do not bring sorrow to God's Holy Spirit by the way that you live. Remember, He has identified you as His own, guaranteeing that you will be saved on the day of redemption. Now, here's where we want to get to, these next two verses. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words, and slander, as well as all types of evil behavior. And here's the text for tonight. Instead, because we're talking about forgiveness, be kind to each other, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God through Christ has forgiven you. Now we need to read that verse over and over. We need to write it, as it were, on the back of our eyelids so that we can see it so often. Be ye kind, tender-hearted, one to another, forgiving one another. And that word there is in the aorist imperative. It means forgive today and keep on forgiving. We'll talk about that here in a little while. Without forgiveness, there is no freedom. Without forgiveness, there's no recovery. Without forgiveness, there is no healing in our lives. But in a world with so much pain, so much hatred, have you ever seen a day in which there's more hatred and animosity and evil abounding in our world than what there is in the year of 2015? There's an abundance of it. There's animosity between races and tribes and clans and nations, and sometimes even among family members, filial family members, and sometimes church family members. So we ask ourselves, is total forgiveness realistic, or is it just a dream? Is it a theory, or is it a reality for us as Christians? And I want to tell you tonight, right at the beginning of this message, forgiveness in the human may be difficult and even impossible if we attempt it without the grace of God and the Spirit of God to enable us to exercise it. Otherwise, you're just operating in your own human flesh, and that won't take you very far when it comes to this business of forgiveness. Now, why is this subject so important? Why did Jesus connect forgiveness in the Sermon on the Mount, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those, in the same measure, just as, in the like amount, forgive me, Lord, in the measure that I forgive others? Why would God say that? Well, it begins with an observation that forgiveness of sins is a major biblical doctrine. The reason Jesus came into this world was to forgive us of our sins. As far as the east is from the west, Psalm 103 verse 12 says, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. Psalm 130 verses 3 and 4 says, if you, O Lord, kept a record of sins, who could stand? But with you, we're talking now about this forgiveness between us and God, with you there is forgiveness. Isaiah 38:17 says, you have put all my sins behind your back. In other words, God has put them there, figuratively speaking, he can't even see them. Isaiah 43:25 says, I alone am the one who blots out your sins, and I will not think of them again. Micah 7:19 in the New Living Translation says, you will trample our sins under your feet and throw them into the depths of the ocean. Do you see forgiveness there? Acts 10:43. Everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sin through his name. Ephesians 1:17. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Now, no matter what else I may say about forgiveness in this service tonight, let's clearly understand this. Salvation begins with our forgiveness from God. That's where it all starts. If God did not forgive us, we would have to shoulder our sins forever, weighed down under the load of guilt that could never happen. Now, or could never be removed. So I think a lot of times we understand this. We understand Jesus came into this world to forgive me of my sins. I need to ask him for the forgiveness of my sins. That's the salvation message. That's the gospel message. Where sometimes the rubber hits the road is on the horizontal level of our own relationship with others. The Bible has a lot to say about the forgiveness of the sins of others against us. Let me just give you two examples in the interest of time. Mark 11:26 says this, and when you stand praying, when you're in the sanctuary worshiping, we could say, when you're driving down the car, down the road, wherever you go to prayer, whether it's just a sentence prayer or a season of prayer, if you hold anything against anyone, Mark 11:26, forgive him so that your Father in heaven may forgive you your sins. Do you see how those are correlated together? You forgive. It's in your best interest to forgive others, because if you don't forgive others, God has said, I'm not going to forgive you. That's a powerful thing. Ephesians 4:32. Be kind and compassionate. We used it a while ago. Forgiving each other. Now, several points tonight in this is, first of all, Christianity is supremely a religion of forgiveness. It begins with God and comes down to us, and then God expects our forgiveness to flow to others, which brings glory to Him. Secondly, God only has one solution to the problem of sin, and that is the act of forgiveness. And if we do not accept His solution, there is no alternative, nor is there any substitute to forgiveness. That's God's only solution to our sins, is when we call upon Him to forgive us of our sins. Thirdly, God Himself has shown us how to forgive others. We are to do for others what He has done for us. He modeled that for us in a marvelous way. Do you remember when Jesus was on the cross? And there He hung in anguish and in agony. And He looked down on those that He could have called down fire from heaven on those people. But what was His response? Father, forgive them. You and I are asked to have that same kind of an attitude. Now, Harold Horner has a massive commentary on Ephesians. And one of the words he says for forgive is a New Testament Greek word, means be gracious unto other. It includes forgiveness, but it's actually a lot bigger than what we sometimes think of it. I, the undeserving sinner who has been showered with God's grace in Christ, I am to give out to other undeserving sinners who have sinned against me the same outpouring of grace that God has poured out on me. In other words, grace from God to me, grace from me to others in my relationships with them. Now, let's look at this here and talk a little bit about just what is forgiveness. What is it? Anyhow, the various biblical authors used a number of different Hebrew terms. When somebody says, God has forgiven my sins, what does that mean? Well, one word means to blot out. There's a number of words. Another common Hebrew word means to lift and to carry away. Another word is to release from debt. All of these are words in the Greek and Hebrew for forgiveness. Another word is to release from debt. And one Greek word means to show grace to someone who has sinned greatly. In other words, if you want a short definition of what forgiveness is me giving up my right to hurt you for hurting me. Did you get that? That's a powerful definition of forgiveness. It's me choosing to give up my right to hurt you in retaliation. An eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. No, it's giving up that right to hurt you for having hurt me in whatever way that you did hurt me. Now, there's a lot of different word pictures of forgiveness. Here's just a few of them. To forgive is to turn the key, open the cell door, and let the prisoner go free. I like that. Another picture of forgiveness is to write in large letters across a debt, nothing owed, nothing owed. Another is to forgive is to pound the gavel in a courtroom and declare not guilty. Another definition or word picture of forgiveness is to shoot an arrow so high and so far that it can never be found again. Another is to forgive is to bundle up all the garbage and take the trash out and dispose of it so the garbage truck can carry it away. Aren't you glad you don't have to live with the garbage in your house very long? But you know, some people live with the garbage of unforgiveness in their spirit and in their mind for years on time, year after year after year. To forgive is to relax a stranglehold on a wrestling opponent. To forgive is to smash a clay pot into 1,000 pieces so it can never be pieced together again. When we forgive, we consciously, before God, cancel the debt that we feel that person owes us, or in some respects that we owe them, to make it right, to get even with them. Perhaps it will help us to remind ourselves, now here, get this and follow along. There's a lot of material here. I'm going to try to cover it in a brief time. That's what forgiveness is. Here's what forgiveness is not. And lots of times when people counsel with us as pastors, there's a big misunderstanding about what forgiveness is and what forgiveness is not. I'm going to talk to you now about what it is not. Forgiveness is not denying that somebody did you wrong, that evil was done to you. It's forgiveness is not denying that. It's admitting that. Forgiveness is also not excusing their sinful behavior. They have to account to God for that, not to you. Do you follow that? So that's not forgiveness. I'm going to hang on now. Forgiveness is not pretending like it never happened. Forgiveness is not pretending like it never happened. It's not glossing over the pain that you suffered and saying that didn't hurt. I can remember when I was in high school, we played some stupid games in high school. One of them was to see how hard you could hit the other person in the shoulder. And then the other person said, that didn't hurt. Oh, it didn't, huh? And then you hit him with all your might again and say, that didn't hurt. And you were lying through your teeth. It was killing you. Forgiveness is not glossing over the pain that you're feeling. That's not forgiveness. That was ignorance and stupidity. And if you try that in your own spirit, when you say, that didn't hurt me, you will find out that you are stuffing a lot of emotions that are going to show themselves in guarded moments if you don't admit and confess that wrong. Now, forgiveness also, what it is not removing all consequences for the wrong behavior. There's some things that cannot be undone. If you have been abused physically or sexually, if you have had something happen to you that has been traumatic in your life, you cannot forgive the consequences of that. You still might have trauma from those consequences. That's not what forgiveness is. Forgiveness is not acting as if it never happened. Sometimes it's like, well, if I just don't think about it, then it won't bother me. That's not what forgiveness is. We'll talk about what it is here in a minute. Forgiveness is not letting others abuse you continually either. Forgiveness, I want to repeat that. Forgiveness is not letting others continually abuse you. If you have somebody that is continually abusing you, and I'm talking physically or sexually now, or sometimes even verbally, forgiveness is not just letting that go on ad infinitum. That is not forgiveness at all. Forgiveness is not pretending you were not hurt. Now, here is an important fact about what forgiveness is not. Get this important fact. Forgiveness is not the same thing as reconciliation or restoration. You follow that? Forgiveness is not the same thing as restoration or reconciliation. It's not a magic trick that we use to force others to become our friends again, to say, I forgive you, so that they will be our friends again. It's not a tool to manipulate others into confessing what they did that hurt us so greatly. So what then is forgiveness? I can say perhaps the most important sentence in this sermon in this. Forgiveness is a choice, not a feeling. Forgiveness is a choice that you exercise through the capacity of the volitional aspect that God has given you to choose. Forgiveness is a choice and not a feeling. God never said, forgive them if you feel like it. Forgiveness is not about your feelings. If you have been deeply hurt, traumatically hurt, you probably never will feel like forgiving that other person. That's why 1 Corinthians 13:5 tells us that love keeps no record of wrongs. Forgiveness, I say it one more time for repetition and so you'll remember it. Forgiveness is giving up my right to hurt you for hurting me. And it is a command from God, not a recommendation. Forgiveness means letting go of the anger and the desire for revenge. Seen in its true light, forgiveness is an act of mercy toward the person that has offended you, hurt you, or wounded you. It's an act of mercy toward that person in the same manner that God has acted towards you in your sinfulness. Sometimes we hear people say, well, I'm not going to forgive him. I'm not going to forgive her because he doesn't deserve to be forgiven. Of course he doesn't, or she doesn't. No one deserves forgiveness. Forgiveness isn't earned. If a person could earn forgiveness, they wouldn't need it in the first place. It is a gift of mercy that you extend to someone who has hurt you. But note this qualifier now. This is an important qualifier. This gift is given to another person, the person that has hurt you, wounded you, but it remains between you and God. Now follow this. The other person might not know that you have forgiven them. God knows, and you know, and that's all that matters. And the end result is a change in the way you feel and act toward that person. Now, you say, I'm not clear on that, Pastor Larry. You mean if I forgive somebody, I don't necessarily have to tell them? That's what I just said. Because if you go to them, you want to be sure you have the prompting of the Holy Spirit in this. If I come over to Mike, who's a good friend of mine, and if I say, Mike, I forgive you. And you'd say, what for? And I'd say, well, just the other day you said something that hurt me, and so I forgive you. And Mike is apt to say, well, that was your problem. That's not my problem. You see, and then you've got a deeper issue to contend with. Do you see what I mean? Now, the Bible says you go to your brother and you seek to reconcile, but you don't go to put them on the spot or put them on the defensive by saying, I forgive you. Because in all probability, they're going to look at you and say, well, I would think you would because you're the main source of the problem. Why are you coming to me and saying, I forgive you? So the other person may, now there may be times when, you know, I can remember, I've asked my wife multiple times in our marriage, at least three, I think, in 52 years. or 300 or 3,000, I don't know. Please forgive me. I mean, there's times when you can say that, but I'm talking here about traumatic, dramatic experiences when you may or may not even tell the other person that you have forgiven them, but in your heart you do forgive them. Because if you go to them, sometimes it's not even wise to go to them. It could exacerbate the situation rather than free your own soul. You don't want to free your own soul at the expense of angering someone else. That's not the Christian thing to do. Now, if you have any trouble with that, come and see me and we'll talk about that. How do I know when I've truly forgiven? Well, here's some things. I think I put this in your notes. You no longer think about it day and night. You don't have to. Every time you go, you're just not thinking about it all the time. And you don't go around mad. Have you? There's an old country western song I heard a few years ago. It's about the guy singing to his wife and he says, why are you angry all the time? You know what anger inside is? You know why we have all of this road rage and all of this stuff that goes on today? It's people who have bottled up unforgiveness in their hearts and lives against someone, against God, or even against themselves. And they just are volatile. They're on edge. And boy, they'll just fly off the handle at the least little thing. I was watching a football game today. The officials got in a confrontation. Another official had to come over and separate the two officials. You talk about each one going to show on television. They each had the equal right to make a call, by the way. And each insisted that they were right. But replay showed one of them who thought he was so right, he wasn't. Sometimes when we think we're so right, we're not. So you no longer think about it day and night. Secondly, you can know you've truly forgiven when you no longer have to talk about it all the time. Have you ever been around some people that live in the courtroom of complaint, rehashing the same hurts over and over and over every chance they get to anybody that will listen? And after a while, you don't even want to be around them because the first thing they're going to do is tell you how bad they were hurt or how much they were wounded or how deeply they are sad. And we need to get over ourselves sometimes, friends. And getting over yourself is one of the biggest things that you can do. And I'm going to tell you in a second of how to do that. Now, you no longer live in that bitterness and anger. And the last one on that, how do I know when I've truly forgiven? You can recall those who hurt you and wish them well. Recall those who hurt you, and you don't have to gloss over anything. You say, Lord, you know how much I was hurt. You know how much I was saddened by that situation or by that experience. But Father, I'm not the judge of that person. I feel like they offended me, but Lord, I leave that with you. And I pray, oh God, bless them and use them for your glory and the good of others. And when you start to pray for somebody, I want to tell you something. We talked about that 2 weeks ago. The guy, you know, that prayed for his wife for 90 days, his estranged wife that had run off with another guy. And it didn't bring them back together. But he said he got to the place of where he could thank God for the good years they'd had. He could thank God for the 3 children that they had from that union. And he could thank God for the fact that he no longer had to carry around that intense anger and bitterness toward her. Now, number 3, is forgiveness an event or a process? And the answer is yes. It's both. It's both in the sense that you must at some point decide to forgive. That's the event. And then it's a process sometimes that has to be repeated over time. I told you this story before, but I'll tell you again. This guy whose wife abandoned him the woman whose husband abandoned her for a younger woman, leaving her with young children to raise. And she said this, I guess I've forgiven him 1,000,000 times. Every time I think of him, I have to forgive him over again. Is that even normal? Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Because forgiveness does, you know, when I was younger, I'm ashamed to tell you this. I used to counsel people. Shows you how much I knew or know. I used to counsel people, if you haven't forgotten, you haven't forgiven. That's malarkey. I should have never given that counsel. I did that when I was just a grasshopper. Now I'm an old grasshopper. And now I'm an old guy that can't hop over the grass. I tell you, friends, don't think for a moment that forgiveness means it's going to go out of your mind like it never happened. The enemy will float it by you every now and then, and you're going to have to reaffirm the decision that you made. Forgiveness is a lot like purity in your mind and in your conduct. You have to affirm it over and over and over. You're not going to reach a state of grace where you don't have to affirm your desire to be pure sexually, in your thinking and in your actions. And you'll have to do that over and over and over. And forgiveness is the same way. You don't go through the struggle every time. You just go through the process of saying, Lord, I've already given that to you. The enemy's trying to bring that back to me, and I refuse to go for the bait. I have forgiven that. It's this aspect of a choice that we make. We need to forgive because God commanded it. Now, here's a question I want to answer before we close. Does forgiveness always lead to reconciliation? And the answer is no, it doesn't. You say, if I forgive somebody, if Mike and I had a falling out and I forgave him, does that mean that we would be just the best of buddies again? Not necessarily. Not necessarily. Forgiveness does not necessarily lead to reconciliation. Here, follow this now. Reconciliation requires forgiveness. But forgiveness does not demand reconciliation. The reason for that is this. Forgiveness depends on you. Reconciliation depends on you plus the other person. And they may not want to be reconciled to you. So the point of it is, it implies confession, repentance, forgiveness, restoration of trust. And often it is not possible to be reconciled. And sometimes it is not wise to be reconciled. You can have nothing against that person. You can forgive them, but they may not choose to be reconciled because that's a process that involves two people. And sometimes it's not even wise, particularly if that person is someone that is not going to be an example of goodness and godliness to you. Do you follow that? What about the person, as I said, that says, I can forgive, but I can't forget? Well, you just have to go through. Forgiveness does not mean we somehow wipe out of our mind the record of what happened. Forgiveness means we choose not to recall it. Forgiveness means we choose not to chew the cud over it and to let it ruminate in our mind and in our spirit. There's a big difference between remembering something and dwelling on it. You follow that? If somebody's wronged you, you might remember that. If you see them drive by, you think, there goes that stinker. Lord bless him. Lord bless her. I pray your, and I'm serious, pray, Lord, I pray, Father, that you would bless. Father, I thank you that the bitterness or the anger or the hurt or the pain or the whatever it was, I thank you, Lord, that I don't have to carry that. I leave it at the cross, and I pray your blessing on that person. Does that mean you'll be reconciled? You'll be buddies? No, not necessarily at all. It just means that you have let that bitterness drain out of your heart. Do I need to tell the other person I forgive you? And the answer is no, not necessarily so. Obviously, if that person comes to you and asks for forgiveness and you intend to forgive them, but I'm thinking about those times when a hurt, thoughtless comment and an unkind action of others, most of the time, it helps to remember. About 90% of the time, if you go to a person unsolicited and say, I forgive you, you're going to end up picking a fight because that person say, I didn't do anything that needs to be forgiven. I don't know what you're so upset about. That wasn't my fault. That was yours. You don't need, here, get this. You don't need another person's permission to forgive them. I do not need, if Mike and I were to have a quarrel, I do not need his permission to forgive him. I can forgive him, and I should forgive him. Because that's what the Bible said. And in the measure that I forgive him, God says, Larry, that's how I'm going to forgive you. So it's in my best interest to forgive. Well, what about the feelings of anger that might keep coming back? Just surrender them to God. Just surrender them to God. You say, Lord, I was so hurt. I was made so mad by that. I just don't know that I'm ever going to get over that. If you keep wallowing around in it like a hog returning to the wallow, you will. You'll just be on your pity party the rest of your life. But you come out of there and you say, I plead the blood of Jesus Christ over that situation. And Lord, through an act of my will, by my choice, because I know that you have commanded me to forgive, I forgive that individual freely and fully. I might remember it. Lord, the enemy will try to bring it back to me from time to time to make me mad or sad. But I pray that each time you would help me to reject the temptation to go back into the wallow of unforgiveness and anger and bitterness again. This last illustration, and I close before the worship team comes. I like this. During World War II, as Allied soldiers fought their way across France, a soldier died during a bloody firefight. After the battle was over, his buddies wanted to find a way to give him a decent burial. The only cemetery in the closest village was a Catholic cemetery, so they approached the priest asking for permission to bury their fallen comrade there in that cemetery. "Is he Catholic?" the priest asked. "No, he's Protestant," they replied. With great regret and sorrow, the priest said, "I'm sorry, he cannot be buried here. This cemetery is reserved for baptized members of the Catholic Church." So the soldiers found a suitable place outside the fence of that cemetery that marked the border. There was a fence there. They found a suitable place just outside the fence and buried their comrade there, hoping to return some months later and to take his body back to the States with them. By then they found out that the family had died. He had no one, but they came back to put a marker up over his grave. To their surprise and their consternation, when they came to what they thought was the burial spot, they could not find the grave. And not knowing what else to do, they asked the priest if he knew what happened. Where did their friend go that was buried just outside the fence? He told them that after they had buried their friend, he could not sleep at night. He didn't think it was right that they had that rule. So he got up early one morning and moved the fence to include the body of the much-loved soldier who had died for his country. What that priest did, God has done for us. He moved the fence so that not only can we be forgiven, but we can forgive others. And if God found a way to include us in His love, can we not reach out to include those who have sinned against us? May God give us grace to move the fence for others as God has moved the fence for us. Let's pray. With your heads bowed, your eyes closed, I realize that we've just touched. I could preach probably 6, 8, 10 sermons on forgiveness. As I studied this week, I thought, Lord, how will I ever get this in to a second message and get it in any measure? But I wonder, as you look into your heart tonight, is there anyone here that would lift your hand and say, "Pastor Larry, I tonight am lifting my hand in saying that I have an issue in my heart of unforgiveness"? You don't have to tell me or anybody else. God knows what it is. But I have an issue of unforgiveness where I've been hurt or wounded, where I've been mistreated or abused, of where somebody has said something or done something, and it has lodged in my craw. And tonight, by the grace of God, I want to move the fence out on the other side of that and say, "Lord, I forgive through an act of my will." If you have a need to acknowledge that, just lift your hand and I'll pray for you right where you are. Thank you. I see that hand. Anyone else? Others? That you have an issue of unforgiveness and you say, "I'm moving the fence. I don't want to carry this around inside of me. I don't want to be bitter." Thank you. I see your hand. You can put it down. Anyone else? Thank you. You're just being honest with the Lord. But you know in your heart, don't carry it much longer. It's dangerous to carry unforgiveness. Pastor Rich and I, Pastor Will, know of a situation of where a man said, "I'll never forgive. I don't care if I'll go to my grave, and the last thing that man said was, tell my wife I love her and ask so-and-so to forgive me. Anybody's got anything like that? We've had three hands. Anyone else say, Pastor Larry, pray from up there. I'm surrendering. I'm moving the fence out to include some unforgiveness in my life and asking God. Thank you. I see that. Father, we need to be quick forgivers, ready forgivers, total forgivers. The only reason we don't readily forgive is we don't realize how great our own sin is. If we don't think we're very big sinners, then it comes to stand to reason that others, we think others have really sinned against us. But if we recognize, like Paul, that we're the worst of all the sinners, and that no one could sin against us greater than we've sinned against you, then we can readily move the fence and say, oh God, for that person, that situation, that circumstance, just now, I move the fence by the grace of God and I choose to forgive. Thank you, Jesus, for giving me that desire and that grace. With your heads bowed, is there anyone here who doesn't know Jesus? You'd like to receive him tonight. You say, well, you talk about that. I don't even know him as my Savior. I need him to forgive me before I can forgive others. If you'd lift your hand, we'll pray for you as well. Anyone? Worship team.